The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number nine with the old two, four.
Sometimes it's a full wave. Sometimes just the deuces.
I like it. Packed show today. And maybe an opportunity, Kelly, to talk about other things besides football, catching the world up, including perhaps ourselves, about other things that are happening in the world of sports and sports betting. Al Bernstein will join us along those lines because there's a big fight this weekend. Light heavyweight championship of the world between David El Monstruo Benavides. That's the monster for those of you scoring at home.
Someone did their prep work.
I just know that part because I think Tyson gave him that nickname. Is the Mexican monster.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
If Mike Tyson gives you a nickname, yeah, that's sticking.
And then that's against Morrell. So Al Bernstein, the Hall of Fame boxing announcer, will join us a little later to talk about that. Mike Samich, Samobami, Super Bowl and beyond. Will Hill with his Super Bowl bets and beyond. We will talk Super Bowl MVP. Drew Dinsick on championship round gone by. Super Bowl 59 and the NBA as well from Drew. We got to get caught up on the whole Jimmy Butler miss you guys as well. That's going on in Miami. You had a good night in the NBA, right? A lot went your way.
Oh man. Yeah. One of those kind of lucky nights. We always say, hey, you're going to complain about the bad beats. So, recognize when you get a little lucky. I mean, I did have the Clippers last night. They came up a couple points short, but if anybody watched the end of the Lakers Hornets game, like I ended up on the Hornets plus 5.5. Lakers won by 5. There was just a ridiculous series where they were shooting. Hornets were shooting free throws near the end of the game. I was going nuts because the Timberwolves looked like they were going to cover the entire time. The 7 that I was laying with that team looked like they were going to cover the entire time till about the final minute. You know, where team ahead lets up, Hawks get a couple easy buckets. I'm pulling my hair out.
Plinko.
Well, because you're like, you know, I'm worried about a point spread. These players aren't worried about a point spread, and then it's Wolves up 6, Rudy Gobert at the line.
Oh.
And there's like 30 seconds left. And I'm like, oh gosh, Rudy, just make one. Just make one. I'll take a push and be happy, right? Clank, clank. Hawks get the ball, inbound the ball. They're down 6. Lose the ball, turn the ball over. The Wolves do the whole, we have the easy fast break, could lay it in any second. But no, we're going to pull the ball out. We're going to run the clock out because it's under 24 seconds. We can easily run this out. And the ball gets passed around enough, Gil, that it ends up in Rudy Gobert's hands again. And he goes, well, I'm just going to dunk it since I missed those 2 free throws.
And you covered
it. So I covered it because of Rudy Gobert dunking out of spite for missing free throws.
Well,
so yeah,
well,
sometimes you got to get lucky with this stuff.
Another amazing college basketball finish. I briefly alluded to this yesterday when Fezzik was here about how the Kansas-Houston game this weekend, and I really didn't even do it justice, right? The Kansas-Houston game, I talked about the finish. Houston had a 0.4% win probability. So it was, 0.04%. Actually, it was 0.4 or 0.04. Maybe it was 0.4%. Yeah, 0.4%.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Houston was down 6 in regulation. They, as part of their comeback in the last minute or so, it involved a 5-second violation and then a bad foul. And anyway, they got to overtime. They were down 6. Houston was, with less than 20 seconds left. First of all, Kansas was at the line shooting 2 up 6. I failed to mention that part, right? They missed both free throws. Good free throw shooter, too. Houston hits a 3 with about 13 seconds left. And then, of course, you know what happens. Steal, 3, splash. We go to double overtime where Houston wins. So that was an amazing finish on Saturday. And then last night, did you see the Arizona-Iowa State finish?
Yeah. I feel like everybody and their mother bet that game last night. I feel like it's the most bet college basketball game of the year.
They both were the same situation because it was a home dog, right? A very slight home dog playing against the in the case of Kansas and Houston, both teams highly ranked. This one was, Iowa State towards the top of the rankings in college basketball, a top 5 team. And but same situation with a home dog, a slight home dog. And Caleb Love, playing in his 14th year of college basketball, sinks a 55-footer to force overtime. And you know why? Because Stevie Fezzik was on Arizona, and he's the biggest luck box I've ever met in my entire life. He's a great sports bettor, and he's by far the luckiest human being I've ever met in my life. That is why Caleb Love hit that jumper, and of course, Arizona goes on to crush them in overtime.
I just like what you said about Caleb Love, because that's when I saw the highlight. I'm like, I feel like this guy's been playing college basketball for 7 years now.
We are not usually the show that talks about coaching hirings and firings in the NFL. We usually stick to the sports betting part of things. But, you know, yesterday there was an opportunity to talk, you know, because there were four introductory press conferences in the NFL yesterday. It gives us a little chance to sort of try to condense it. And I'm reminded Dave Ross, the host of By the Books, who precedes us here on the network, and I appreciate this great joke. Kelly, that Jerry Seinfeld once told Norm MacDonald, and Jerry Seinfeld prefaced the joke by saying to Norm MacDonald, Jerry Seinfeld, a Jew, Norm MacDonald, a Gentile, he prefaced it by saying to Norm MacDonald, Norm, I'm going to tell you the greatest Jewish joke ever, and you're not going to understand it. And the joke goes, two Gentile businessmen, two non-Jews, meet on the street, and one says to the other, how's business? And the guy responds, great. That's the joke. Now, if you're in the tribe like I am, that is hilarious. Because, now, if you're not, you probably don't understand it. Norm MacDonald didn't understand it either. Do you understand the joke? We prepped you on it.
Yeah, I was just saying, you and Dave were talking about this for I don't even know how long last week.
The joke is, right, that those of us who are in the tribe, in our DNA, we like to complain about everything, right? So no two Jewish businessmen would come to each other and say, how's business? But we'd be like, well, you know, the secretary isn't doing so well. The bookkeeper stole money from me. You know, whatever it is, right? But it's both simultaneously a joke about us and a joke about you, because it's like, of course you guys wouldn't get it because everything is peachy keen. And I would just say maybe just a shade below complete authenticity and in the response. And so it's a joke on both sides. And that's how the NFL head coaching hiring press conferences seemed to me yesterday. Can we start with Dallas and Brian Schottenheimer? He had this to say.
We're going to win. And we're going to win a championship. Otherwise, why are we doing it?
Okay, that was also buttressed by Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, who, of course, is in Dallas front office and probably own the team one day, saying, you know, our drought, using air quotes. Well, you haven't reached the NFC Championship since after the 1995 season when you won the Super Bowl. That's the longest streak not being a championship game in the entire NFC, now that Washington got to it this year. And so I just find Brian Schottenheimer, who last week when I was on the show, I said, if they end up hiring Brian Schottenheimer, what did I say? This is basically Jerry Jones saying to the Dallas Cowboy fan base, yeah, I don't care anymore. We're just going to ride it through. It's all about me. And I'm going to put anybody I want as a head coach. And that's kind of the message it sent. For Brian Schottenheimer to come out there and be like, yeah, we're going to win the championship. Otherwise, why are we doing it? You're not. You're just not. Stop it.
We've gotten so far past the day of being able to say stuff like this and people not have the immediate reaction of like, all right, bro. Sure, bro. You got it.
How's business? Great. This is, you know, look, have people overcome press conferences before? Dan Campbell did with biting the knees. It's gone pretty well for him. Let's just say Jim Zorn and the maroon and black, when he was hired by Washington, didn't go over so well, and we knew it was doomed from the beginning. This is Aaron Glenn being introduced as the New York Jets' new head coach.
Players that's here now, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges. But with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets, so we're built for this.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are, Aaron Glenn.
Listen, I want this job. I interviewed for a number of them, but I wanted this job.
Yeah, you're the freaking New York Jets, all right. We're built for this blank. Jets have the longest playoff drought in the NFL, 14 seasons. What are you built for?
They're built for the suffering.
Is there anybody who comes out of that Cowboys press conference and that Jets press conference thinking to themselves, oh, yeah, he's right. We are the Dallas Cowboys and we are playing for a championship. We are the New York Jets. We're the freaking New York Jets.
I took that very differently from Aaron Glenn. From Aaron Glenn, this is going to be tough. We've been through a lot as a franchise, so we're going to be okay. Because of that.
And now,
now the Cowboys is just straight delusional.
And now, well,
that's just straight delusional.
I find them both delusional. And now, perhaps Captain Delusion, Liam Cohen, being hired as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
How do we make Trevor Lawrence and this offense as dynamic and explosive as we can be? Right, we've got to build it around him as well. Right, we've got to make every part of this about improvement, and he will be a part of that process. He's earned that right. I cannot respect his toughness and mentality and work ethic more than I do already from afar. And this will all be about Trevor right now.
Well, more famously, what Liam did yesterday is he said, you ready? Quote, Duval.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's just how he started it, the press conference. I have no idea.
Duval. It was great. It was awesome. By the way, they're 5-18, their last 23, tied for the worst record in the NFL since week 13 of 2023. He's gone from the Rams to Kentucky to the Rams to Kentucky, now to Jacksonville, only because Trent Baalke resigned. And finally, Pete Carroll with the Las Vegas Raiders.
With our guys, I know that we have a good draw for people from out of town. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Mark, settle down a little bit.
That's a joke about Mark Davis, the owner, when in fact it was Marshawn Lynch who screamed Raiders, interrupting Pete Carroll's press conference. Until you have a quarterback, you're nothing. And oh, by the way, Raiders, you have the second worst win percentage in the NFL over the last 20 seasons, 367, since getting to the Super Bowl after the 2002 season with our own Rich Gannon. You haven't won a single playoff game and have only been to the playoffs twice. You have no quarterback.
What is the saddest situation of all those teams?
Well, it's always going to be Jacksonville, but they're all sad. Again, how's business? It's great. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the NBA and NFL next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell. Barbecue sauce. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavors, Sewell's has become a southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas, from smoky ribs and mouth-watering wings to the perfect backyard burger. Man, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's sewellsbbqsauce.com. Flavor this good. It's just a click away. By the way, the reason I don't spell sauce is because in the read, it just tells me not to spell sauce. Which is why I think it's pretty amusing. don't spell sauce. People know how to spell it. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is from C. Spackler at Expert. He says, enjoying the crappitude replays and confusing ethnic humor today. We need more cowbell. I enjoyed it quite myself. Rick Ollier, has Pete Carroll moved into your building yet? And if so, have you introduced him to Delicious? Hashtag let's ride. Shooter McGamlin, Gil, I was hoping Fezzik would have touched on this yesterday, but I would love to hear yours and Drew's opinion on going for two down by five. I thought the Bills should have went for it even before the penalty. The guys I was watching with did not. The Bills down five, was that the 21-16? Was that the 21-16? I'm trying to think what the score was, and where the penalty put them at the 1 yard line, if I'm not mistaken. And then they went. Yeah, I think when you go to the 1 yard line, if I'm thinking about the right thing.
Absolutely
go for it at that point.
Especially when you have a Josh Allen on your team.
But as Tony Romo, I make fun of Tony Romo a lot with all of his comments. I think we'd probably go for it here, Jim, on the 4th and 5 at the end. Yeah, no, Tony, we get it. He was all over the scouting report that the Chiefs were all over the fact that Josh Allen on the sneak goes over left guard. So shout out to Romo on that. Dave Ross, who hosts the show before us by the books, rushed back to my car to listen to Gil and Kelly talk Dallas Cowboys. Had no idea Gil would use this classic joke to describe the Cowboys coaching sitch, but man, did he nail this joke. Jerry Seinfeld, it still kills me that you told Norm he wouldn't get the joke. Drew Dinsick joins us once again to discuss multiple sports. Real quick before we move on, anything else in Super Bowl 59 that you're, let's say, anticipating with props that you're ready to pounce on if it comes up a certain way? Anything
yeah,
like
I mean, that. I think if you're not trying to get $100,000 down on a side and you just want to bet, I personally think Eagles money line is highly correlated with Barkley MVP. I found some 3-1 out there yesterday. I think there is a very, very high likelihood that if the game state comes about that allows the Eagles to get this across the line, it's because Barkley has a couple of home run plays. And, you know, he specifically is the type of player that is boom or bust to the degree that it makes sense to swing in this market. Like if he busts, the Eagles are not winning. And yep. So forget about any of the other names that are Eagles. And if he booms, then he becomes the easiest decision if the Eagles win. So you have 250 up right now. I think fair price is closer to 180 in my opinion. And I think he makes up something like 75 to 80% of the equity for the Eagles.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, the short shot to win Super Bowl MVP, plus 105, followed by Saquon at plus 250, the shortest Eagle on the board. Mahomes, by the way, in addition to the Chiefs trying to become the first team to win three consecutive Super Bowls in the Super Bowl era, Mahomes trying to become the first player to win three consecutive Super Bowl MVP trophies as well. Only three have won back-to-backs. Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw, and Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes trying to be the first to do three in a row. Not Brady, not Montana. None of those guys won two.
Oh, man, that does make me nervous. Like, are we going to have a fatigue or something from Mahomes voting or something? That we're going to look for any other reason to find another chief to give it to if they win.
The only reason I never, sorry, Drew is patiently waiting. But the only reason I don't do the fatigue thing during the Super Bowl is because they're voting on it on the fly. And so because they're voting it on the fly, I don't think they process
that. They should have less time to think about stuff
I
think that makes sense.
Yeah. And who was the running back? Was it Damian Williams, Drew, that one year where like Mahomes had no business winning it and they gave it to him anyway. So
yeah, I mean, that was his crowning, you know, that was his he's arrived moment. I remember betting a lot live market on MVP Mahomes that year. As they were down 11, because at that point it's the same sort of calculus, right? Like either the Chiefs just lose this game or Mahomes brings them back. And at which point, like, he's clearly the MVP, and the money line and the Mahomes MVP were disconnected because he had been playing poorly to that point. I would say the same thing applies in this game regardless, which is if you like the Chiefs in this game and you want skin in the MVP market, I would just wait for a time in the game where the Chiefs are losing. The Chiefs play close games. I don't know if you've watched the Chiefs much, but they do not run away and hide when they're playing good teams. They tend to try to extract the edge, you know, they pick up the nickels. And they just are cool enough and calm enough to, be the team that is executing at the highest level at the end of the games. Like when the fourth and five was incomplete to Kincaid, which, again, was an amazing play by Allen. I cannot believe he saw him. Can't believe he got the ball in his area code. I don't blame Kincaid for dropping it. I thought that was a 50-50 ball. That ball hits the ground and you're like, oh, yeah, the game's over. Like the chances that the Chiefs don't have the plays in the playbook to get the first downs they need to put this thing away with kneel downs, I think is very low. And, you know, like if you have that, you know, that type of if you have that type of bag in your game, then, it becomes, you know, you win these types of games. And so I guess I would be happy to write Mahomes MVP tickets pregame if I was a bookmaker at plus 105. I think there is certainly a world where there's a fatigue vote. If it's, you know, if there is a reason to give it to someone else, I think they will. But I also think that I will be watching the market live, seeing if there's an opportunity where the Eagles are, because, you know, there was times even in the third quarter against the Commanders where the Commanders defense was like clearly gassed, nothing left. And still it was like, well, Daniels is out here doing, he's making magic. Like, this might get sweaty. I can't believe that this might get sweaty. And the Rams came back when in that game looked like it was absolutely done, almost won. And so I don't know that I trust the Eagles and put this thing away mode defense wise. And so if there's a two score lead here for the Eagles at any point, I'll definitely be playing some Mahomes MVP.
Real quick, you said you're taking the Eagles on the money line. Fezzik was in here. He's a big proponent because of the postseason overtime rules. That if you're taking the dog, you should take the points. And if you're taking the favorite, you should take the money line because of the likelihood of a 1-point result in overtime. Do you buy into that at all?
It's a really, really, really good point. But I,
okay.
Yeah. If it gets to overtime, it kind of feels like if that is the game state we're in, I don't think the Eagles are winning, and I don't know that it's because they score a touchdown, get a extra point, and then give up a touchdown and a two.
Yeah.
It's because they just, you know, they puddle themselves and the Chiefs are cool, calm, and collected and score a touchdown going away.
He said puddle themselves.
Puddle themselves. I hadn't heard that one before. I like it.
All right, real quick, rapid fire. What do you have in the NBA tonight, sir?
Big night for fatigue angle. And actually big month for fatigue angle. The NBA has been weird this year, Gil. I got absolutely crushed in December. And I blame the NBA Cup for kind of completely, you know, churning the schedule. But the extra rest that was afforded all those teams in December has come back to haunt them as they have the compressed schedule here in January. And so the teams with the fatigue advantage have just been printing so far. It has been a delightful month betting the NBA. I would say that the obvious angles tonight are the Sixers. That is down to two. I got in. Oh, no, that's four. I think there's a decent chance a bunch of Lakers sit. Most notably, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. This could flip to Philly favorite, but either way, I think Philly covers. No Embiid, no Paul George, but Maxey and company have been playing competitive basketball lately. So Philly stays inside the number, in my opinion. I think Portland stays inside the number against Milwaukee. I think Golden State chooses their number against Utah. 12 is not enough. And then I have nothing for Houston, Atlanta. That one looks fun.
All right. And then Australian Open postscript. Give it to us.
Madison Keys will be the number one takeaway from this entire tennis season after what happened at the Australian Open. I kind of had lost any kind of belief that in her age 30 season, she was going to really threaten to take a title at a slam. I knew that a deep run was possible considering that she has a specific game at this level that is just extremely high ceiling. The fact that she was able to rein that game in the absolute key moments, particularly against the, you know, in the third set against Iga, was unbelievable. I could not believe that she broke back instead of, you know, walking that out 7-5 and saying, well, I got it to the semifinal. That's cool. No, she fought back and she was elite service in that tiebreak as well. Still can't believe it. And then her final performance against Sabalenka was just phenomenal. She, like, the tactical aspects of it, the execution, it was all just 10 out of 10. Amazing tennis. And her return on championship point that ultimately won it was something that I will remember specifically from this Australian Open. It was so good. And it caught Sabalenka. Like, she literally was like, how did she do that? And the point was over. The tournament was over. It was pretty special stuff.
Sabalenka handled it well, didn't she? As always.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. As always. And then Sasha.
She's a competitor, man.
Yeah. She is. She wears her feelings on her sleeve. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
And then Sasha Zverev just with a absolutely horrible performance in the final. Drew, always appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right, best luck, guys.
Drew Dinsing, everybody, at @whale_capper. We'll come back, a little more MVP talk next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly, you a fan of the squares when it comes to betting? Always. No big game is complete without a classic game of squares, but this year, make it even better with Circa Squares Bets from Circa Sports. We all know the pain of pulling those terrible numbers. Well, not anymore. With Circa Squares, you get to choose your square and the numbers you want. Each square has its own odds, so you're always in control of your bet. Download the Circa Sports Nevada app today and place your Circa Squares bet. Turn your big game into a big win with Circa Sports. When did squares enter your betting history? Do you remember the moment the first time you saw squares?
Yeah, I mean, I was a kid. I think my dad was one of those pools for every Super Bowl. Yeah,
my dad did him as well. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They. I mean, the ones that Circa's done though, these have taken off the past couple of years. It's been pretty impressive to see how popular these have gotten.
Right, because they have the twist on it. You can actually choose. So yeah. This is. So check it out again. Download the Circa app. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Dave Ross, the host of By the Books here on the network, which precedes
us. Go to
bed,
Dave.
Dave is busy explaining to folks on Twitter about the joke that I told
him.
Sure,
that's going over well.
He's going, it's an all-time amazing joke and pokes fun for different reasons at both groups. And the fact that a two-worded answer joke has to be explained shows you the brilliance of said joke. A masterpiece. Thank you, Dave. You're absolutely right. Colin Murphy. Ime Ubidlin is definitely not getting my Coach of the Year vote, but Blade Udoka absolutely would.
Blade, that's right.
Blade didn't really catch on.
Really catch on.
Yeah, I know.
I guess, can I finish my thought on the Rockets real quick?
Sure.
I only had any hesitation on them because I might be very, very quickly loading up on a Thunder to win the Western Conference ticket. I just think they are head and shoulders above everybody else in that conference. And I think at a plus price, plus 125 right now out there on them, it's still a good bet for them to win the West before Chet comes back here. Because you asked me about that, Chet coming back, this team's going to go to a whole nother level too. So,
Chet Holmgren set to return to the Thunder here.
Rockets,
at some point.
Rockets are definitely part of that next tier for me though.
SoCal Fantasy. We may not have a consensus for first pick in the NFL draft this year. Could get plus money on everyone as the rumors roll in. That's for sure, man. And then Scuba Scott talking about what I was saying about how horse racing and baseball and, boxing went by the wayside. Baseball, not by the wayside, but baseball has definitely become more regional since then. Horse racing and boxing for sure. Scuba Scott, I'm a newly minted 65-year-old. Things I enjoyed 30 years ago in sports, most 35-year-olds wouldn't give a second look to. His list, Hialeah, cut my teeth gambling at Hialeah in Miami. Dog racing, also a Miami thing that you won't ever hear about anymore.
This is like a list of degenerate better things that I love. This isn't sports.
heavyweight boxing, roller derby. That even precedes me. Joni Weston is his favorite. And then Taylor Gingrich, hope I'm pronouncing that right, or Gingrich. I'm going to guess Gingrich, Taylor. The problem with the tush push isn't the play itself, but how the center illegally lines up over the ball in the neutral zone, gaining an advantage every time. It's at the point where it's just accepted for whatever reason. Yeah, exactly. That's my response to that. You're right. They should, if you're going to be so harsh on the defense at that point for like trying anything possible to stop it, maybe be a little fair about that part of it. I would agree with that.
I mean, there's a point where it's illegal. They can call that offensive offsides.
Well, I wish they would. Have you ever seen it called?
No.
No, exactly.
Like, I don't know for sure that that's happening all the time.
Well, but it is sometimes, I'm sure. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is Taylor's point. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the co-host of Ready, Set, Bet, which he does with our buddy Matt Brown on the weekend. It's Mike Somich, Somo-bombing his way onto the show. Talk Super Bowl 59 with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. Doing good. Happy that that my Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl here for another year. It's either you bet on them or you hate them right now, and we've been betting on them for a while, so pretty happy we got the Chiefs back here.
Yeah, let me just, again, explain, give Mike his credit here, for, as he says, my Chiefs. It's not like he's a Chiefs fan. What he is a guy who last year, again, when everybody was saying, well, I'll just use analytics, again, not picking on Aaron, because Aaron Schatz, I love Aaron Schatz's historical rankings in DVOA, and last year he had the Ravens and the Niners in the top 10. And Somich the whole time was like, Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs. And of course, the Chiefs ended up winning. I hope I'm quoting it correctly there, Mike. And the Chiefs ended up winning it all. And I have asked him repeatedly during this season the same question, as, again, the Ravens specifically ended up being the top the seventh best team of all time DVOA, all time being all the way back to 1979. Are you still with Mahomes? And you were like, absolutely. And here we are yet again. So you're on the Chiefs here in the game, or you just have futures you're riding?
It's funny. I came on this show the Monday after the Super Bowl last year and told you guys I bet the Chiefs plus 750 to win the Super Bowl after cashing my Chiefs ticket from the previous year.
This dude.
Mike. Sorry.
Yep.
I have not bet the Chiefs in the game, but I do have the big futures ticket on them, and I'm going to. I haven't decided if I'm going to hedge yet or not, right? It's either going to be a small hedge or no hedge here. I think Kansas City's still the right side. To me, this is just about situational football. And when you look through this roster, there are very few places you can point to Kansas City and say, oh, they're better, right? The secondary, I'd probably take Kansas City's over Philly's. Obviously, quarterback, I'd take Kansas City over Philly. But skill position on the offensive side, Philly's better. If you look at the defensive line, Philly's better. But the key to me here is the coaching. And that's what people keep just not focusing in on, right? Andy Reid is better than anyone Philadelphia has offensively or at the head coach position. When you look at defensive coordinator, give me Spags, and they are just able to consistently make plays when it matters. You go back to that Buffalo game, the tush push that everyone's talking about. Was it a first down? Wasn't a first down? The Bills went to the left all four tush pushes. Kansas City, the first team to shift their line over to the left and take that away from Buffalo. It's little things like that that coaching staff consistently does that makes the Chiefs better in those situational moments. You have to get two first downs to close the game out. Guess what? Kansas City can do it through the air. They don't have to just run it three times, take timeouts. They can actually close the game out. It's those type of moments that make the difference for me with this Kansas City team. And it's been like that for literally the last 6-7 years since Mahomes took over at quarterback. We're two plays away here, right? The offsides that we saw against the Patriots and that second half against Cincinnati, those two things are different. This is the seventh year in a row this Kansas City team has been in the Super Bowl.
5 Super Bowl appearances in the last 6 years. Do I have that correct? 5 Super Bowl appearances in the last 6 years, 7 straight AFC championships, trying to become the first team to ever win 3 in a row. You have bet 3 props. They are all overs. Let's start with Mahomes completions.
Yeah, this is one where I just, when you look at how Kansas City is going to attack this Philadelphia defense, to me, it's through the air. I don't think they have a ton of success running the football with Hunt or Pacheco. I assume Hunt's going to be the lead back there. So if you're betting props, I would be looking at Hunt props, not Pacheco props to the over. And I'd look at Pacheco props to the under. Do like under his longest run, 9.5 yards. But when I'm looking at it, I expect that Kansas City does attack through the air for the majority of it. And you expect that they're not going to be able to really push the ball downfield. Philadelphia loves playing a too high look on the defensive side. They rush 4 versus blitzing or bringing extra rushers. All of that points to Mahomes on these 5, 6, 7 yard routes. And we've seen Kansas City, when they're facing that type of defense, be happy to take those type of completions. The beauty of that is on a completions over prop here, not only are you going to see a lot of throws because you're not going to see the chunk plays, the 20, 30 yard plays, you're also going to see see throws that are highly likely to be completed. So if he's throwing 3 yards down the field, 4 yards down the field, 5 yards down the field, those passes completed a much higher percentage rate than those longer 10, 20, 30 yard passes. So like Mahomes to go over that 24.5 completion number with a lot of shorter throws and meticulously moving the ball down the field.
And speaking of coaching for the Chiefs, I see you have a Xavier Worthy over rushing yards prop here. I guess you're anticipating a jet sweep, at least in this.
Oh, I think so. I was pounding the table here for Worthy rush yards last week. If you look at this Chiefs team, and specifically Andy Reid, the way he's called plays in the playoffs, we now have 20 straight games where a non-quarterback, non-running back has rushed the football. So tight end or wide receiver has gotten a run. If you look at Worthy this year, he has had at least one rush in 15 of the 19 Chiefs games. He's had 2 or more rushes in 7 of those 19, and he's gone over this 4.5 yard prop in 13 of those 19 games as well. I'd be shocked if he doesn't get at least one run. He got 2 in the AFC championship game, got 2 the week before. I would expect you're going to see multiple runs for Worthy here. So love over that 4.5 number. If you can get 4.5, that's a big one. There's a couple 5.5s out there. I would shop around, make sure you get that over 4.5 rushing prop.
Over 4.5 rushing yards for Xavier Worthy. And don't worry, Eagles fans, he's not a one-sided thing. You do have an over for an Eagle.
Yeah, give me Goddard over 47.5 receiving yards. It's the best number I could find right now. When Matt and I were on Ready, Set, Bet on Sunday night, we were running through all these props. We got over 45.5 on Goddard. When you look at this Chiefs defense, they kind of funnel everything toward the middle and allow tight ends to be successful. They're number one in tight end targets, receptions, and yards against in the NFL. I expect Goddard to have a big day, especially after how we saw him game planned into that Washington game over the weekend.
All right. You're wearing a Stanley Cup final top there, so I feel compelled to ask you for a hockey pick before you leave us.
Yeah, I got my Blues Stanley Cup finals on here. We're not nearly as good as we were that season, but we did switch head coaches. Still like us to make the playoffs at +550 out there available. But for today, give me the Hurricanes here, -1.5 taking on the New York Rangers. You can get +175 right now on this Carolina team, -1.5. Love the move they did to pick up Rantanen. It should help out the offense. And this Rangers team missing a couple key pieces, both in net and up front. So we'll lay the 1.5 here with the Hurricanes, take the +175 number.
Did you say you're a Blues fan? Is that what I got there?
Oh, huge Blues fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was wondering the same thing.
Oh. Got the helmet right back here. We got a Stanley Cup over here. We got one with Louie holding it.
Did you grow up in St. Louis?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Let's go Blues. I did. I grew up during the Hall and Oates era in St. Louis. So fell in love with the Blues there, and they've been my hockey team for years.
Yeah, Hall and Oates era. Rich girl. I can't go for that. That's what he's talking about. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Totally.
More about Mike.
I feel bad. Maybe Mike Somich profile coming up on the show. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike Somich, everybody. Samobomb 18. Al Bernstein on Boxing Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSiN today and use promo code VSiN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy and gain the edge in your trading game. That's BubbaTrading.com/VSiN, promo code VSiN500. We'll get Bubba on. Because that was the night where Kelly promised every human being on Earth they'd be on the show. But Bubba, we actually promised before that night.
That's right. Yeah. But I did back it up.
You did support, back it up.
I was like, we're going to get you on, Bubba.
You're on the show, and you're on the show, and you're on the show. Three Joe, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Three Jack H.
Solich was dying laughing, man.
I've seen you ask four other people on the show. Well, there's Samich. He showed up. Bruce Dobigan is back. He said, Bills deserve to lose, but the Tuchus push, the Chiefs lined up offside on three of the Bills' attempts, he says. Crickets from the refs or the league. Maybe it's Goodell's way of getting it out by allowing the defense to encroach.
I haven't seen that, Gil, but that tweet I agree with because it makes more sense to me than Josh Allen being stopped that many times.
Well, they wouldn't let Washington encroach, would they?
No, they wouldn't. I swear if I was coaching the Bills, they would have lost by 80 points because I would have been sitting there just being like, all right, let's go to the right side with Josh. No, we're going to keep going with Josh. There's no way they can stop this many times. Keep running it.
3JackH3131 asks you, can we get Kelly's thoughts on the Kings to win the Pacific Division? He has a 36-1 ticket.
Oh, man. I'll circle back on that. How about in the final segment? Let me pull up a couple things. But that is...
Kelly needs to do research.
That's a really tight division right there.
We'll get back to it. I sprung that on. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, it is always a thrill when this gentleman is kind enough to come on the show before a big boxing match. And there is a big light heavyweight championship fight coming up this weekend here in Las Vegas, which we'll get to momentarily. He is a Hall of Fame boxing announcer. Most famously was on the call for the great Hearns Hagler 8-minute absolute fight fest back in the mid-80s. He's also, of course, though, a original VSiN host, by the way. Don't let that slip in his history as well. And he has his own show that is going to be at the Tuscany here this Thursday night. He's been doing this for years as well. It's the great Al Bernstein, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Al? Good morning.
I'm good, Gil. So nice to join you again. Yeah, it's nice to be with you guys. I love the show. And what I know about sports gaming, I glean from you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. What I know about wanting to go see acts here in Las Vegas, though, is really starts and ends with you. And I mean that. I'm taking little Gracie to NYU, as we discussed Friday. So yeah. I'm leaving town on Thursday.
That's pretty important. I would say that's an important function.
Yeah, but I hope you will do this again. Can you explain to folks what your act is about if they want to go?
Yeah, well, you know, since 1987, you mentioned the Hagler-Hearns fight, but since 1987, before the Hagler-Leonard fight, when I did three nights of music at Caesar's Palace the night of leading up to that fight, I have been doing music shows before big fights. Mixing in boxing trivia and things of that nature, in the show, just because people, while they get a kick out of me doing the music, they want some of the other stuff too. And I've been doing it for a long, long time. And in the last 5 or 6 years, I've been doing it at the Tuscany Casino here in Las Vegas. They have a great room, the Piazza Lounge. It's real intimate and fun. And we do lots of music. We do special material. I've got a song about my days at ESPN. A couple other songs that are special material. Plus, I do a lot of standards and blues and everything. And we do some boxing trivia. It's just a very fun evening. A lot of the boxing celebrities and boxing folk come out along with regular everybody else. And we have a good time. And this Thursday, at 8 p.m. and 9:30, I'll have shows. No cover charge. Just come out and hang out and have fun.
I love it. And by the way, when Al says he does music, he sings, just to be clear about it. He sings in addition.
Yes. I have been a vocalist for a long, long time. And it's fun. I enjoy doing it. And people get a kick out of seeing me do something different.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. I hope the next time I can.
You're going to get there. I'm confident we're going to make that work.
I am confident as well. Let's get to the fight this weekend. It is the light heavyweight championship of the world. I was sort of saying earlier, Al, I'm thinking, you know, the light heavyweight division, not exactly the sexiest weight class in history. But I do remember, because it falls below, obviously, heavyweight and cruiserweight. But I do remember some big names from the past in the 80s, Matthew Saad Muhammad, Dwight Braxton, who later became Dwight Muhammad. And then it was sort of like Tommy Hearns elevated there when he got older, Sugar Ray Leonard beating Donnie Lalonde. Antonio Tarver. There's some names, Roy Jones Jr. We remember their names, but those aren't their those weren't the weight classes that made them famous. Where does this fight? It's David Benavidez, by the way, for those who are wondering. David El Monstro, the monster, Benavidez, 29-0, 24 knockouts, taking on David Morrell Jr., who's 11-0 with 9 knockouts. Benavidez, a minus 190 favorite. How big of a fight is this?
Yeah, it's big. Now, it's actually not for the light heavyweight title. That better Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol, who are amazing, they fought for the unified titles, and they're going to fight again February 22nd. But this one is, these two fighters were at 168, and they've stepped, this is actually their main entry into 175. They fought at 175 before, but now this is like almost a elimination to see who fights the winner of the Beterbiev Bivol fight. But it's a very important fight. And, you know, both David Benavidez and David Morrell were dominant at 168. Benavidez, especially, a former champion there and with more experience. But they could not get the coveted fight with Canelo Alvarez, which, of course, is the biggest money fight that anybody can have. So they said, well, shoot, we're going to fight each other, and we're going to do it at 175 because it doesn't look like this guy's going to fight us. So we may have to go to 175 where we can win an important match, which this one is, and then maybe fight the winner of Beterbiev and Bivol. It's very important. It's a fight that has captured the imagination of certainly the true boxing fan. It's crossover, appeal. We don't know enough about. We're not. It could and should really interest anybody that has even a casual interest in boxing. It's a really, really good fight.
So just to clarify here, Kelly, you have the WBC light heavyweight champion Benavidez against the WBA light heavyweight champion in Morrell, but this is not a light heavyweight fight. They're fighting at 175, so I got that part wrong.
This fight is the most is as meaningful as you can get, in that division other than Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol, or who have had the titles and they're superstars. And these men are, especially David Benavidez, is on the cusp of that. And so it's a really intriguing matchup because David Benavidez is a volume puncher who is as exciting as any fighter in boxing can be offensively. He reels off these great combinations and doesn't stop. And David Morrell has much less experience than him and has not fought the level of competition that Benavidez has, but he's such a phenom and came into the sport after a great amateur career in the Cuban ranks and came to America and ironically settled in Minnesota, of all places, where he built a following in Minneapolis and then became, a top 168 pounder. He's got one punch power and has boxing skills. But Benavidez, who's, as you said, the favorite, I think if people are going to go on the money line look to bet, whether you're, just a straight up bet, I think more people are betting Benavidez in this fight. And the over under in this fight is an interesting one because it's 10 and a half rounds. And in their last outing, both of these men went the distance and weren't as dominant as they had been in previous fights. But if you're going to bet for a stoppage in this fight, I think it is more likely, in my opinion, that Benavidez would be the one that would do it. He has never really been hurt, although Morrell is a good puncher. And the over-under of 10.5, I would be tempted, I think, if I was putting money down in this fight, to go for the under only because I think it's possible that Benavidez later in the fight could be wearing Morrell down and might get to him prior to that point.
Okay, under 10.5 in the total rounds, and then Benavidez by stoppage, if you can find that prop, but steering clear of the Benavidez money line at -190.
Those are worth a try.
Okay.
But it's a competitive fight. It's a really super competitive fight.
Al, appreciate it very much. Thank you so much, and good luck on Thursday night.
Thank you so much. You guys take care.
You too. Al Bernstein, by the way, you can follow on Twitter at Al Bernstein. How about that? Very clever Twitter handle that he got. Like Kelly Bidlin, who got his own Twitter as well. We'll come back. A little bit of everything. We'll recap our bets on the show today. And a little French Open talk. How about that? Some tennis next.